ladies and gentlemen, and mañosas worldwide. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Emo Brown, the podcast. I am Esteban Garcia III, alias El Champs, your host of the Emo Brown podcast. And I'm here joined with BJ Yahweh Jezvera, the producer in charge of all things Emo Brown. And this episode is brought to you by the wonderful people at Grasshopper. For all your medicinal, recreational, cannabis needs, take $12 to Grasshopper, get 3 pre-rolls back, make your card clack, get 20% back, the gift that just keeps on giving, that clack clack card. Oh, while we're at it, saying thanks to all the homies, big up to Bobby Tribal, that Tribal Streetwear, the lower left, since 1989, making clothes that fit so fine. Look at that, dog. And while you're also there, visit his son, El Compita Isaac Ruiz, and Silk Cloud. For all your Silk Cloud needs, go to silkcloud.com. Emo30 gets you, guess what, Barry? How much?
30.
That's right. 30% off at the website. Go get yourself some attire. I wore a Silk Cloud crew neck last night to a comedy show. It was awesome. I got some compliments. The Mike Tyson three-eyed one. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Michael Waves, the newest member on all things that we do here on Emo Brown. I'm going to tell you one thing, and then I'm going to tell you a couple more. I really like these. I didn't know how these teachers would work prior to me using them. Now that I'm using, I do not know how I would live without them. I dream like a champion, dog. I am a first-person role character in my own dreams now. I'm interactive. It awoken me on the inside when I sleep. I sleep like a champ. I wake up even better. Reach out to us. We're working on getting you guys a promo code for a nice little discount on there. I know there's a lot of UPS. All the fools at UPS.
Yeah.
They're reaching out to me like, hey, man, what's up with these mushrooms you're using, dog? Are they legal? Are they this? I'm like, these are not the funny kind, dog. These are the alpha lion. ¿Cómo se llama esa madre? Lion's mane.
Lion's
mane. The lion's mane.
Reishi, shiitake, all that stuff.
All of the mushrooms, whatever you put in your salad, you put it in your system, you're going to elevate your mind. Cognizant, I believe, is a word. Or cognitive is another word. Both of them are probably wrong.
I think cognitive. I think cognitive.
That's a word. Cognitive. Also brought to you by Full Circle Group. We are missing out on Albert today. I wanted to, give him a nice little congratulations. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing in real estate, put your trust in the Full Circle Group. Full Circle Group brought to you by Alberto Aguirre and Fabio Ortega. Reach out to them. Make sure you're buying property anywhere in the South Bay. You reach out to these banda singers. Look at them, fool. they look like Lucha Libre wrestlers, too.
I don't know what mañosa means, but that looks like
they look hella mañosos right there, fool. One of them has his button on the suit. The other one just said, let it fly. Let him rip whenever you're in need. I wanted to give him a props for his gender reveal party. I don't think I need to, reveal the gender of the baby. It's not my place. So we'll wait for next week when Albert comes in and we'll go all over that. Barry Jezvera.
Yes, sir.
What's cracking?
Not a much, yo. Just glad to be alive after a 5-day party bender of birthday celebrations.
Birthday celebrations. You still celebrate your birthday like that, like a whole weekend?
Not really. I'm not the type to be like, hey, I'm special. But I always turn it into a show every year because I'd rather work on my birthday than do anything else.
Mm.
But yeah, me and Fernando went out celebrating from like fucking Wednesday till yesterday, basically.
Wednesday? Damn, bro. Okay, I give your lady gets the pass. She's a lady, she's mm-hmm. doing her thing.
And she deserves it.
You're a man, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
34-year-old man.
34? I got you on a decade.
Yeah. But those mushrooms keep you young, though.
I shave. Too much face.
Yeah.
Too much face.
A lot of face.
Sometimes I'll do the blind man shave in the shower, dog. And I'm just kind of like, all right, I'm going to take a little off here. Boom, boom. I don't know what happened, but I looked in the mirror. And then I said, I took too much off. And I said, all in. Fuck it. We're gonna shave it all today. I did. Too much face. Went to go get my haircut. I get a haircut maybe like every 10 days now. I don't know if that's normal or not. I got to keep it clean. He went a little deeper on this time. I was like, all right, whatever. Whatever, Oliver. For all your haircutting needs, visit the homie Oliver. Family Cuts right here on 3rd Avenue off of Anita Street. He'll take care of you. He's another Clack Clack member. Make your card clack. Get some. I'm sure he'll give you a hookup.
Oh, yeah. He does an emo bro hookup.
For all of you members out there, thank you. We got 4 new members this week, Barry. The numbers are improving. The numbers are increasing. Should I read some names out? Just going to read like a quick little easy one. Not all of them, because I know people get all twisted about it. Like, oh, Compa Daniel. Thank you very much for being a new member. Andrew, the Malt Man. Thank you very much for joining us. A homie Victor, what's up? El Pede Jr., that's right. And Marie Apperson. Thank you, guys. You guys are all new members as of the last 10 days. So big ups to you guys. That being said, Barry, March is right around the corner. And on March 13th, let's see what we got here. March 16th from 12 to 3, we were going to be holding our open house. Open house, open and available to all. What are the open houses all about, Barry? It's just to come and check out what we're all about. It's for everybody to, who has an interest or has been curious on what projects we're working on, what we're going to be focusing community-wise, fundraisers, giving back money to the community. Cruise by March 16th. It's always here at the headquarters. Come see what we've been up to. Music by DJ Reg One, bro. DJ Reg One, the homie. Food also by Bangin' Benny's. Better confirm that. Because that's a pivotal part of the open house. So I got to find out exactly what we got going on. Come on through. March 16th, 12 to 3. It's always a party. And if you are a member already, that is the first official day to pick up your first quarter give back. A 16-ounce mug. 15-ounce. 15-ounce coffee mug with the new logo. What logo is that? It's this one right here. Look at that thing. That's going to be on your coffee mug. It should be awesome. You're going to have a good old time. Meet some other people that are here. If I get messages every now and then on Patreon, I haven't gotten this, I haven't gotten that. This is your time to come in and pick it up. You know, we have quarterly meetups at least. We also have just random meetups every Monday. If you're a member, feel free to come into the warehouse and watch us throw down here, because that's exactly what this is all about. So on Mondays, if you are a club member, feel free to cruise through. Bring coffee, have a pastry, have your breakfast here, work out of the office. We got a few members in here today, so it's always a fun time, exciting time. March 16th, members only, members welcome, new members welcome. Cruise through, see what we got going on. We hope to see you then. What has the foundation been up to, you might be asking yourself, Barry? This past week, we were awarded, recognized by the Chula Vista Elementary School District for our works and efforts in raising money for the sixth grade community of John J. Montgomery Elementary. We were able to link up with community leaders, Supervisor Nora Vargas, a few other partners that we have here in the community, and they awarded us a recognition award simply for raising $10,000 and making sure we paid everybody's sixth grade camp fee to go. So fortunately for all our social club members, all of you played a role in this as well, man. This are the fruits of our labor. Everyone looks so happy up there. Some more than others. Some more than others. That's what's going on, man. I missed this week's bike ride. There's a lot of things.
I heard it was
going
a tough one. I heard they Justin posted it was going to be like a 10 out of 10 difficulty. Oh. No, thank you.
No, I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to pass on that, Barry. It is Monday, so we do have a special guest here with us today. It's going to be a long Monday, Barry. We're going to do a few shows today.
Let's get it.
But it starts here. It starts with one. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us, local pizza chef to the stars, the man who gets it done with the flour on his hand, Chef Mario Maruca from Caleanos. Bienvenidos al podcast Emo Brown. Te estamos esperando. ¿Cómo has estado?
Thank you for having me. Great.
There it is. Ooh, you speak Spanish?
Sí.
Just enough?
I can do business in Spanish, so I think it's been...
Well, I mean, you have a spot in Tijuana, so I feel like, you know, it's kind of an important part of the role.
Yeah.
Welcome, bro. You brought us pizza last week. We liked it, so we decided to have you back.
Appreciate that.
Tell us a little bit about your business. Tell us a little bit about yourself, brother. What's good?
Just making pizza next to Brandywine Liquor Store.
Brandywine Liquor Store.
Can't complain.
Hey, Barry, is this mic coming in good? Are we going to be good on him or what's up?
Yeah, I got him cranked up.
All right, cool. Let's see. Dale, jefe.
Can't complain. Just opened up a new spot in Tijuas on Revo. It's been a dream of mine to do something in TJ. So
Revolucion.
Revolution.
Common misnomers about revolution. It's no longer how it once was in our era.
No, it's not the gringos, Navy guys, gavachos, whatever you want to say. It's all the locals now. It's pretty free.
Locals only?
Well, it's everybody, but it's like coffee shops, craft beer, good restaurants. It's not just your let's get drunk and go crazy anymore. It's pretty freaking cool.
I used to go to a bar down there when I was 17. Called the Cactus Club.
Okay.
And at the Cactus Club, Barry, I'm telling you, bro, $20 got you 10 little Dixie Cup shots as the worst-ass tequila that you've ever had, and you also got 10 coronitas, you know, and each one of us would get one of them for ourselves.
That
no
tequila.
Mames, bro. It was not tequila. I don't know what it was.
It's that pure cane alcohol that they put some flavor in it.
Yeah, and I would pound that, and I don't know how we got across the border, and I don't know how the border let us cross back into the U.S., because there was no – this is all pre-9/11.
Oh, big time.
So there was, you know, they kind of like say, yeah. American citizen, yeah, you are. Get them on. Go. They didn't give a shit, bro. They did not care.
All they did was point at you and say, and you'd say, U.S. citizen.
Yeah, that was it.
U.S. citizen. U.S. citizen.
You bring anything back? What do you bring back? Nothing, fool. I'm faded.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Have a good day. Have a good day. Keep moving. Now, bro. Now it's ridiculous. Now it's like a 3-hour wait.
Oh, it's, yeah. They ask you everything. They ask you even what the color of your underwear are.
I don't wear chonies, bro.
Oh, then you're lucky.
Tell us about Calianos, bro. Tell us about how it started.
It started off as a food truck. And then, you know, hit a couple bumps on the way. And now we're just back to doing what I love is making pizza.
What separates your pizza from everybody else's pizza? Damn, look at you went straight think mode on that one. Did you see that?
Just my, I guess, my understanding of pizza. I grew up making pizza since I was a little kid. My grandmother had a double-deck pizza oven in her garage, and we used to have pizza parties when I was 3-4 years old. So just understanding dough, sauce, flavor profiles, what makes Americans, what Americans like, what Italians like, you know?
It's completely- and meld them together or what?
Yeah, so I take my American palate and my Italian customs, and I kind of meld them together.
And out comes a world-famous Calianos pizza. What else do you offer at Calianos, bro?
I do burgers. Probably our number one thing we do is called something called the chopped cheese.
Chopped cheese. What do we got?
So the chopped cheese is something when you go to New York, you find them in all the bodegas. It's a chopped cheeseburger, so to say. And if you get on Instagram right now, I guess the hot guy is the guy that does it the Aki way. You know, all the rappers go into a spot in Brooklyn and they go, give me with this, that, and throw this on that. But we just do good old smash burger that tastes like a cheeseburger on steroids.
There it is, man. How long have you been at Brandywine Liquor Store area?
We're going to go on a year, March 13th.
Hey, that's kind of fast already, man.
Tell me about it. We just opened and it feels like, damn, we're already going on a year. You know, I feel blessed. I feel very, very blessed.
I feel like we met each other right around the time that I was opening up the brewery. Correct. Right, opening up the brewery right there on 3rd Avenue.
Yes.
And we kind of crossed paths. You told me your story. I told you my vision on what I wanted to do. We've kind of kept in touch throughout the time. So I've been following you from all your different ventures, from going to different parts of the town, trying to implement what your idea was, what your vision was. And it looks like it's finally come to fruition the way you want to do it, the way it needed to be done.
Well, the pandemic hit me hard. And to be honest with you, I was ready to tell this industry, excuse my language, but fuck this shit.
Hi, padre.
Sorry, you know, we're at 18 minutes. We're good. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, cuz.
You know, I mean, between the health department, ABC, everybody squeezing you, and then your landlord squeezing you, and all you're trying to do is just, you know, make a buck. It's messed up, you know?
The continuing rising cost of products and goods that you need to operate and create what you make, it's ridiculous, bro.
Stupid.
It's a juggling act just to make it all work.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know. I was ready. I was ready to say screw it, but then found the place next to Brandywine Liquor Store.
Get it?
Everybody knows Brandywine Liquor Store. If you don't know Brandywine Liquor Store, you're not from the South Bay.
Why are you like that? Don't gatekeep, dog. That's horrible. But it's true. I mean, I don't know the address of Calianos, but if you say, hey.
Next to Brandywine Liquor Store.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That was the number one reason why I gave this spot a chance. And I just said, I'm going to go back to my roots, make pizza, make people happy. And for the first 6 months, all I did was make pizza for like 14 hours a day.
That's passion, bro.
I love it, dude.
You're Italian, I'm assuming, or are you faking the funk? What's going on here?
So I'm very fortunate. My Caliano means half Italian or half Californian, half Italian.
Mm.
Caliano. So I grew up half my life in Italy and half my life here in California. But I wasn't born in Italy and then brought to the United States. I was 6 months here, 6 months there. I'd go back and forth. And then so... my perspective or how I grew up is completely different, I guess.
But that's awesome. It's unique, and that's, I feel, what makes your vision special.
Yeah, like what I did with, okay, so when I first started my, let's say, culinary endeavors, it was all because I lost my first business. I used to travel the country and sell pasta for a living.
Okay.
So my family owned a pasta factory back in my little hometown of Nogeri Inferiore, and I just traveled the country and told...
Nogeri Inferiore.
Nogeri Inferiore.
Nogeri Inferiore.
I'm not even going to try that.
Well, did I nail it?
That was good.
Nogeri Inferiore.
Everybody makes fun of me.
Why? No, I make fun with you.
Yeah.
Because when I start talking Italian, my voice changes and everything changes. But I guess it's because of the phonetics, I don't know.
You had hints of Michael Corleone right now when you were talking to me. Nogeri Inferiore.
Appreciate that.
Not a problem. Hey, you're a boss, dog.
So we used to... yeah, so we used to have a pasta factory. The pasta company was Maestri Pastai. We were artisanal pasta, and I would travel the country and tell people what they were doing was wrong, and this is how you actually make pasta.
So you've been gatekeeping all your life?
Pretty much.
Out of you, bro. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with what you're doing. But if you have the foundation and the backup and the history, then you got to do it, you know?
Well, before, the pasta capital of Italy right now is a little town outside of Napoli, Siama Gragnano. So a lot of people will have their office in Gragnano, and then that's where they'll say they make the pasta, but they'll make their pasta in an altro pastificio, another part. But so back if for history, Noce Inferiore was actually the waterway. So it used to be one of the primary pasta making communities in southern Italy. And pasta back in the day were just two ingredients, or they should be just semolina and water.
All right.
So really good pasta is actually good for you. Most of what you eat today is something called an enriched macaroni product. It's not even pasta. So it's 17 ingredients to make something that should be two.
Two.
Yeah. And actually, semolina has the highest nutritional value of the wheat granule. So it actually has dietary fiber and proteins, what combat carbohydrates that turn into sugars fast.
Semolina.
Yes.
So we're big pasta heads.
Yes.
We enjoy it. We pick up fresh pasta from a spot in Little Italy called Ascenti's.
Okay.
Do you give it thumbs of approval?
Well, I don't eat very much Italian food outside my house, so I couldn't.
Mm. You never had? Yeah, so it's pretty good, man. It's actually, we did the research. I'm married to a lady who is very much into reading the labels on what's included in everything we do, because we have three little boys who are growing and require a lot of, you know, healthy snacks. I was raised on Takis, dipping them in sour cream, as you can see by this athletic build. But but my kids, on the other, my wifey, like, really takes pride and great efforts into creating lunches, menus for them that are beneficial, you know? And for that, I'm very grateful, and I'm happy that she does that.
But I actually have my belief in that is actually that's why we get sick so much.
Go ahead.
If you, like, if you don't eat in the streets of Tijuana, then your stomach is not going to build the bacteria up to combat the things that when you actually get sick. So it's, you know, if we eat super clean, when you actually, something is introduced into your body, how is your body going to fight against it? Because it doesn't really know what's in your body. All of a sudden, you're attacked by something.
Don't get it twisted. My kids, we all got Sentry just so we eat tacos and tijuas full. Like, that legitimately was 95% of getting our Sentry was so we can go down to TJ and scoop up all the food. Because the Barry, I know you got some outstanding warrants and maybe some felonious acts when you were a youngster. Get that
allegedly.
Shit clean. Get that shit cleaned up, dog. Get yourself some Sentry card for you and yourself and everyone else in the family. There is a culinary revolution that has been going on right there in Tijuana over decades that people are just either unknowing about or scared to cross the border to do.
Yes.
Once you know enough about how to get from point A to point B, that's all you got to worry about. You know, no one's going to fuck with you. Yeah, it's dangerous. It's dangerous everywhere.
Eating a taco off of a plate that has a plastic bag wrapped off of it is always going to taste better.
Culture.
Hell yeah.
Oof. Oof, man. Sometimes I take them plastic bags home and I say, fill this baggie up with some more tacos, fool. And a mulita. While you're at it, quesadilla. My kids love the fucking quesadillas down there because their quesadillas, it's just not a fucking piece of cheese and a tortilla.
No.
It's got the carne asada. It's got the guacamole, chopped onion, todo el pedo. It's a meal, bro.
What's your favorite?
For me, I like the taco spot.
Or what? Okay. Everybody talks to your favorite taco, but what's your favorite carne? And then your favorite taco.
Okay, for me, it's always going to be asada. I'm a basic motherfucker. But I do enjoy the birria tacos down there, bro.
Okay.
Because birria tacos are bomb down there. I like consomé. Mm. I'm a big fan of mulitas.
Okay.
That is my go-to. Because I feel if I order two mulitas, it's better than saying six tacos.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I say, dos mulitas con todo, patrón. And they come out, it's cheese and everything. I rip the top portion of the mulita off, and I create two tacos. So basically, I'm having four monster tacos, perro. Then I'll get a little bit of consomé. We like to go to a spot in Otay called El Poblano.
Okay.
Poblano's my shit. Okay. Everything we need is right there in El Poblano. So we go do all our stuff we need to do, like in the Mercado Hidalgo area, pick up stuff for the brewery, wah-wah-woo-woo, cruise back, stop and get some food, and that's a wrap, dog. Kids love it. Kids love going to Mercado Hidalgo. They think it's like Mexico City, fool. Así era, mijo.
I wonder why that is.
This is like, mija, mira, aquí es donde están los pirámides, mijo. All right, go ahead. Get yourself a little toy. We lied to them, dog. We took them to Laguna Hills. Where's the over there past Julian? What mountains are over there? Laguna, Mount Laguna?
Cuyamaca.
So when it snows and we make that drive out there, I tell them, hey, fool, we're taking you guys to Utah. Woo, we're going to Utah. So every time I go into the mountains over there, them motherfuckers think it's Utah.
Wait till they really go to Utah. And they're like, this sucks.
Utah's lame, Dad.
So far.
Tell us about your new venture in Tijuana and Revolución, the receptance, the upkeep, what it takes to make a spot like that successful.
Well, like I said, it was always been a dream to do something in Tijuana. So I had an opportunity to partner up with his name is Luis from Cerveceria Madero. Mm. So we're the food right inside of the cerveza, and we're right on Rebel. I can see, if I'm here, I can see Caesar's right there.
Oof.
It's pretty freaking cool. We just do slices down there.
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy. And we've been received very, very well.
Qué bueno, bro.
Very, very well. I don't care who you are. People love pizza. And if you don't like pizza, then there's something wrong with you.
Damn, gatekeeping again. If you're keeping score at home, that's three times, my guy, is gatekept. If you don't know where Caliano's is in Chula Vista, you ain't from the South. Está bien, bro. I like motherfuckers who stand on their shit. Good for you. People down there are appreciative of good food.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what culture, what you are, what you look like, how tall you are, how much hair you got. If you make good food,
people will find you.
They will make the effort to find you, dog.
The one thing I can say about Chula Vista, no disrespect.
Here we go, guys. Brace yourself for some disrespect. for some disrespect, Barry. Push the disrespect button. Go ahead.
We are a little bit of a food desert. We have too many chain restaurants and not enough mom and pop shops. So when there's a little bit of a mom and pop shop, you know, it's and you make good food, people receive you well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not disrespect. We're good, bro. That was good.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like the amount of jack-in-the-boxes or, you know, raising canes.
And but yeah, look, for every one of those, there's a frutas, you know? And for me, I like going to frutas, getting my torta there, getting my kids all acclimated. This is what you wear. Okay, elote, papa, or this, whatever. And for every jack-in-the-box, there's a Caliano's.
Yes.
For every Starbucks, there's a Grindhouse, you know? So it's just a matter of knowing where to go. The easy way out, obviously, is going to Jack in the Box, like Carl's Jr.
I think in San Diego, most people, when they want to do something in the culinary scene, they're always going to go to, like, North Park or downtown.
Mm.
The last thing they think about is Chula Vista. And when they think about Chula Vista, they want to do something cool. So the only place they go is, like, your block. But you know what I mean?
The views expressed by Mario don't necessarily reflect Emo Brown's. Yes, I work on that block, but I do not claim it as my block, as you were, Mario.
Now that block claimed you.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, people don't think of East Lake. They don't think of Otay Ranch.
We still don't.
No, it's something that, you know, you just see more chain restaurants going in than you do the mom and pops. And it's, to be honest with you, I mean, how can I afford $14,000 rent at a strip mall?
Oof, that's how much it's going for right now? Well, it is pricey.
Well, the going rate, I think, for restaurant commercial space is $350 a square foot if you get it on a good. But right now, most landlords are going to squeeze you for $4 and then give you triple net.
Neta.
So you're going to be spending like $5-6 for a spot.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That is a lot, man. I mean, I am from the golden era of West Chula Vista when shit was barely starting to pop off. And we got blessed with an opportunity on Third Avenue. Sometimes you got to dance with the devil to get what you want. But I got it for $1 a square foot, bro.
That is phenomenal.
Ya no existe. That does not exist anymore.
Let me shake your hand.
That doesn't exist. Like I said, you got to do some things to make that shit happen.
Wow.
And over the 7 years that we've been there, obviously it's increased a little bit. But even right now, based on what new leases are going for, like I'll ask, hey, how much you paying here? What's up? And I'm like, wow, bro. Mm-hmm. $275. Almost $3, you know? Yeah. And it's crazy because you have seen that progression of how much things cost, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, like, in my industry, I'm working with small margins because of the food cost and then the increase in minimum wage and this and that. For a small business owner like myself or you, you know, it starts to squeeze you where you're doing like, is it even worth it?
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, yeah, man. That's a question every quarter we run through. It's like, all right, how much is left on this lease? What do we got? Are we going to keep going?
And then it seems like every time I turn around, the state or Uncle Sam has their hand out. And I'm just like, can I just catch my breath?
How many fucking hands do they have, bro?
I don't know.
How many pockets do I need to have? Every pocket has a hand in it.
And then I get a letter from the mail. I'm like, I wasn't even open. How do I owe you money when I'm not even open?
Así es el pedo, bro. But you know what? When it comes to quality, you got to pay for it. And what I've noticed on your pizzas specifically, do you mind if I call it pizzas? Because that's kind of my default. In your pizzas, what I like the most is the sauce.
Yes.
Tell me about your sauce, bro.
We get imported tomatoes from my hometown.
Mm.
I can go talk about tomatoes for fucking hours.
You got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
So basically,
you got 90 seconds, but we'll make it worth it.
Basically, the whole thing of San Marzano tomatoes is kind of a farce. There's a lot of things happened after Chernobyl where killed the tomato fields, believe it or not. Chernobyl. So we'd have tomatoes in the 80s that were white. A complete tomato white.
Settle down over there, Barry. Settle down. All right. Tomatoes are no longer white. We can't make tomatoes great again. Go ahead.
So what you see now is a hybrid of scientists that brought back this stuff. And then, well, anyways, there's three valleys on the south side of Mount Vesuvius. And as long as you get the tomatoes from those valleys, because it's been enriched from the volcano for thousands and millions of years, you're going to have a really good tomato. And I come from the town of Nocera. So I'm in the valley of Nocerino. It's Nocerino, Angri, and Sarno Valley.
Fuck. Say that again, dog. Just Nocerino, Salvadori, Picipori. That's amazing, man. I've been to Italy, and it's probably the best place that I've ever visited, second to Croatia. I went to a place called Dubrovnik, and that was just amazing.
All the Italians vacation in Croatia.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. That's where, because believe it or not, everybody vacations in Italy, so we're like, where can we go where nobody goes? And a lot of people go to southern Croatia on the beaches. They say it's just phenomenal.
When we were in Croatia... I mean, it might start a quick little debate. You might get a little upset. But when we were in Croatia, there in Dubrovnik, they said, this is the home of pizza. Is this true or what's going on?
Pizza was developed in the 17th century to feed the peasants or all the hungry people in Naples.
Yeah.
And the very first pizza did not have cheese on it. It was just sauce, oregano, olive oil, and garlic.
When we were in Napoli,
yeah,
we had probably the best pizza that we've ever had in our lives, bro. Wifey and me just kind of, we just had a margarita pizza, and we tasted, we're like, oh. And then we went to the next, we just pretty much tasted everything that was on there, and every pizza was awesome. I didn't feel all full when we were done, dog. I didn't feel all bogged down. It was like, this is amazing.
Pizza's actually considered health food in Italy.
As it should be here.
If you're using premium ingredients, then you should have a premium quality product.
So it's a health benefit for me to go to Caliano's and have pizza there.
Well,
just say yes. Yeah. Just say yes.
Well, Caliano, when I opened up Caliano, because my son and I go so much to New York, we wanted to do a really East Coast joint. So when you go into Caliano, it's more of an Italian-American cuisine than an Italian cuisine.
Okay.
A lot of people, when they go to Naples and they have pizza Di Magelle or wherever they go that they say is the best pizza, they always go, it was a little burnt on the bottom. It was a little soupy on top. It was a little, you know, a little raw, because most people grow up eating New York style pizza, you know,
and crispy, greasy.
Yeah. So, you know, like I was saying before, if you understand dough and you understand the concept of pizza, you can make any pizza. It's talk about hydration, this yeast, that, you know what I mean? But when you just understand the concept of pizza, dough, the elasticity, the sauce, the balance between, you know, the saltiness of the cheese to the sweetness of the sauce, all this stuff, then it's easy for you to make any style of pizza. Then it's usually, from there, you can kind of like to perfect it in whatever environment, whatever oven you're going to use, from convectional to coal to wood fire. The dough all reacts differently to different sources of heat. So that's why like New York pizza came about. Because when it got here, it didn't have the humidified air from the wood. So it had the coal fire. So then you had this crackery, and then it became bigger and wider. So by the time pizza got to California, it's a completely, completely different thing than what it was in Italy. That's why in Italy, they say, oh, yeah, you guys make pizza in America. But non è pizza. Questa è pizza. This is pizza.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's that. Yeah, you guys say you make pizza. You know what I mean?
The original gatekeepers.
Yeah, well, you come from a long line of keeping the gate.
One thing about, I'll tell you about Italians. How would you say it?
Come te chiamas?
How would you say?
Como se dice?
Let's take pasta. Mm-hmm. Pasta was brought by Marco Polo, the noodles from China.
Yeah.
So all we do is take something and we just make it the best.
Here in Italy, we don't make the things you consume. We make the things you consume better.
I was going to say, it sounds like Steve might be a little bit Italian.
There it is, bro.
So it's even the tomato. The tomato was from South America, Central America, you know, and then brought. And then we put it Then we put it in a trellis like vine, like grapes, and that's how you have the San Marzano tomato.
Dude, one of the things that I love about doing the podcast, Barry, is that we get to talk to people and what they do for their career, for their lives, for on their life journey. Every now and then, we get somebody who's hella passionate about what they do.
Oh, I love being Italian. Being an arrogant Italian is what I do.
Never did I say that you are an arrogant Italian, my friend. I said you are passionate. I'm getting hungry for some pizzas right now.
I'm fucking starving.
The more you talk about pizza, the more I smell the sauce in Napoli and Navarbodushi. I just want to go and have some slices. When are you open?
From 11 to 9 every day.
11 to 9 every day, and you're there pretty much the majority of the time? Or have you loosened up the reins where you can remove yourself and start developing the brand even more?
Yeah, I've been loosening myself up. I do want to own multiple restaurants. I want to do cool stuff. So that's what drives me.
Dude, you're doing real cool stuff.
Yeah. Tijuana's.
That's what I was going to say. Tijuana's the coolest of all cool right there.
Dude, I still surprise myself how I'm on Revolution. Because it's you can't get more downtown Tijuana. You can't get more Tijuana than Revo, you know?
Club Animal, once upon a time, if you slid down that slide on Revolucion, you probably got an STD. And that was fully closed.
What was your club?
My club? I didn't go down there on Revolucion. All right. Pulgas.
Faking the funk. You know you were in high school. Where did you party in high school?
Told you. I would go to drink.
Yeah.
Cactus Club. We would look for the cheapest place. You know, one of my homies is
No safaris?
Nah.
No Mr. Crowns?
I went to Iguanas to watch punk shows.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would go there, and if my parents are listening, I got back in one piece. Look at me. I'm an adult now.
So no Zools?
I would go to Zools later on in life. My shit...
Baby Rock?
Kind of.
Okay.
My shit was Tangaloo. Tú sabes. I would go wear pipiris nice with some boots, some nice little pants, a nice little rayon shirt. Because that's what we dressed
more
like.
Of a rodeo guy back in the day.
I enjoyed going to rodeo, but Las Pulgas held it down.
Okay.
As I got older, we would go to Porky's and
Sotano
Suizo.
Shit, I listen to Pulgas every freak. I live on Revo.
Uh-huh.
So I hear them every night. I live in between. And then with Tumbados now. Tumbados is a thing. So it's like 6 in the morning. You have these kids on the street corner trying to play like the worst Tumbados ever.
It's all right, bro.
But that's what I will for you.
They're going to gatekeep on your ass. They're going to be like, hey, sir, this is how we do Tumbado here.
I'm just a guest down there, and I appreciate that they let me down.
You're well received.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if you're at liberty to talk about this, but do you get that little knock on the door on a monthly basis from the... La Mano Negra?
No, I don't paga pero el piso. I don't know. No?
Damn. Well, after this show airs, you're going to be pagando el pinche piso every day, dog. That's another misnomer, I feel like, of owning a business down there.
I think there's so much misconception in Tijuana that it scares people. But to be honest with you, if you look for problems, you're going to find them.
But you're going to find it here.
You're going to find it anywhere. Yeah. I mean, I had a spot on... Barrio Logan. I knew more shootings go on in Barrio Logan in that little period I had in time than I've seen in my time in Tijuana. You know what I mean? It's just wherever you, I don't know. It just, the misconception in Tijuana is crazy. But I love it down there. I think it's a great city.
Barry, where did you go drink when you were in Tijuana, brother?
I didn't go down there until I was already an adult. I did all my drinking up here in my backyard.
You never went down there?
Not as like a, never in like high school or nothing.
No? What a good kid. Your parents aren't listening, bro. They don't even care what you did as a youngster. I know what white parents are
like. I went down one time before I was 18. I was 15 and I was doing a play with the Old Globe where we did Romeo and Juliet up here and in TJ. We did 3 shows there, 3 shows here.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Goop. Shakespeare in Love, our very own Barry.
But I've always been more about eating places. I don't know. Like, I do plenty of drinking. I don't go places to drink.
No. But when you're young, you know, I mean, for me, it was exciting going across the border, no rules, you know, just go and eat tacos, drop some bets. That's when I started gambling down there, going to Caliente, dropping some bets. The bar scene, the music scene. But the older I got, the less and less I started to go. It started getting dangerous after a while going down there.
The early 2000s.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's where you did not want to be on Revolution. Mm-mm. You did not want to be on Revo. You did not.
You didn't want to be anywhere down there. Sotano Suizo, Plaza Zapato. All these spots were hot. Like, things were going on, you know? So it's like, you just...
Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. When we grew up, there was two brothers that were called the Arianos.
Sir, I'm not going to speak on any of those things. I'm not going to say what's going out.
And Tijuana seemed like it was calm. And as soon as they went away, Tijuana got a little bit of a war scene, you know?
Well, you've opened a can of worms, my friend. Here's the thing. I mean, as in most things, when the boss is there...
Yes.
shit seems to be in order. Shit seems to be very chill, very, you know, maintained. When the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yes.
And the cats have been away for a little bit, and the mice continue to play in the streets of Tijuana and a lot of places in Mexico. And yes. And I feel like, you know, when these things happen, that's when things start happening. Down in that era is when a lot of things were popping off. And I remember just going down there, it became too sketchy.
Yes.
You know, Tangalu just became one of those spots where it's like there was something going on every time that you were down there, you know? Mm-hmm. And some of these figures that we hear about on TV and on like series on Netflix, it was very much true. It was very real. Baby, I mean, of all this
baby,
shit.
Baby Rock was, it was another time, brother.
Yeah. I mean, of all the shit you see on TV, documentaries and reality shows and this, there's a couple of shows like Narcos that back in that era of the 2000s, like that shit was real. Like there was.
I went to school with the kids.
I lived in Bonita and it was crazy. I was reading a book one time. Before audiobooks, Barry, before you bust my canicas. I was reading a book, you know, and got paper cuts, turning the page. Fuck. There was a book, and it just went over a bunch of, like, cartel shit, you know? And you're thumbing through the pages, bro. And then I got to, like, a picture, and the picture was, like, of Bonita, like an overhead shot, like an FBI or a DEA surveillance photo. And then you just kind of kept going, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's a cul-de-sac on the bottom of my street. And then it went on to like describe who lived there, what they did, what their role was in the cartel. And I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
Like these motherfuckers
treated some scary houses.
Dude. Real. Hey.
Real time.
For real, dog. At the bottom of our street, I was like, oh shit. And then as you grow up and saw things like, oh, in Eastlake, fuck that.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So I mean it's always been dangerous. Here, there, everywhere.
Yes. It just was a different time. It was a different time, like I didn't even know this, but a lot of kids I went to school with, dads or had some affiliation, and we would party. And I was dumb. I was partying with these guys, and I didn't know any different.
I was dumb until I got to high school, 11th grade, and I was like walking home, and the homies were rolling in like 760 BMWs, and they were like in Range Rovers and Hummers, but not like the new H2 Hummers, like them old school Hummers. And you were just kind of be like, what the fuck? I'm in a Honda Civic paying $79 a month for the motherfucker over here is paying a whole mortgage on his BMW and his Range Rover.
That was Bonita High School, bro.
That was Bonita High School. That was legit.
That was, yeah. There'd be kids in there that don't even graduate high school, but we're driving 7-series Beamers.
And I'm sure it's probably still the same way, you know? And I'm sure things have changed because the people that we grew up with are now adults and they have their own children and so on and so forth. And it is what it is, man. It's become a the fabric of the fiber of Southern California or a lot of border towns, you know?
My ex-wife, when she moved here because she grew up in Mexico, she thought that all Mexicanos are like Mexicanos. But when she moved here after 6 months, she said, wow, border culture is real.
Yeah, it's way different. It's way different. It's like the homie Barry. I always fuck around and Barry's Latinx. You know, he's not quite Mexican. Got to throw a little X on there because yeah. he was raised here. He's got a Mexican child, Mexican wife. He is your typical just border guy.
Yes.
Raised in Chula Vista, there is no like difference of ethnicity. He is part of this culture. You know, he was.
I know where Brandywine Liquor is.
Yeah, fool. You were raised, bro. You were raised with fucking carne asadas. You were raised with fucking caguamitas. You were raised with corridos. You know, I know you got a pair of avestruz boots under your bed, dog, and you only bring them out when shit's going crazy. But I know where they're there. I know they're.
You know, you're from the South Bay when they say. Let's go to a barbecue, and the assumption is almost—it's already there. It's a carne asada.
Oh, it's a carne asada.
It's not no ribs.
Nah,
it's not. It's carne asada is a barbecue in the South Bay.
That's how it gets down, bro. Yeah. Barry, let's talk a little bit more about your weekend. Let's give Mr. Caliano a break, Mr. fucking Mario. He's talking a lot today. He's letting a lot of secrets out. Careful. Let's wrap it up with him. Give him a break before he gets kidnapped when he goes down to Tijuana. Jesus Christ, he had no filter today.
I like it. I like a no filter guest. I don't know. I'm just happy to be alive. Like I said,
here we go. Here we go.
Day one was Wednesday last week. I played at the Sandbox and had some family come out and they celebrated with us. And then I went with the lovely and talented Mr. Cesar Torres.
Cesar Torres.
To support some local independent business. We went to the Elwood and I left most of my body there. And then on Thursday, we were gifted, Fernanda and I, randomly, tickets to go see our favorite band, Alkaline Trio.
Okay.
And a hotel room.
Hey,
Anaheim, dude.
Save that for the Patreon, right. You nasty little freaking
That's
weenie.
The OnlyFans. But that was cool. Our good friend Carrie, she had tickets and she wasn't able to make it. She's like, I know you guys love them, so do you want them for free? We're like, Fuck yeah.
So. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Your wife, yourself, share a birthday.
Correct.
Your wife, yourself, share a wedding anniversary.
I hope so.
And both these things are on the same day.
That is correct.
What day is that?
February 24th.
There it is, guys. For all you people wondering what to get Barry.
You
want to
hear something cheesy and romantic? That's also the day we met. So everything revolves around that day.
2/24.
Yeah, we met at a backyard party at my house. Mm-hmm. And then
hella South Bay.
Yeah, and then from there on, we just hit it off. And I don't know, I didn't have the plan to be like, yeah, we're going to get married on this day. But when I did have the idea to get married, I was like, okay, that's a good idea.
I believe that's called a kickback. And you guys scammed.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
A little bit. But we,
you guys got married.
Yeah, we got
that,
married.
That is such 90 lingo right there.
¿Qué onda? ¿Te tiramos un scam o qué?
Are we going to go around?
Hey, real shit, dog. Real talk. Real shit. My son is at the age that I asked my first girl out. Mm-hmm. And when I went to school, I went to Tiffany Elementary in Bonita. That's right. Hashtag Bonita. I went to a school named Tiffany, and there was this tree notorious for asking the ladies out. Yes. So we ran to that tree, bro, remember? And we had like little speakers, little ¿cómo se llama? Boom boxes, uh-huh. But like budget, not like legit, like the ones that are available now. Just an old school little boom box, a little stereo. And they were playing fucking at the playground by ABC. And I asked this girl out to be my girlfriend at the tree. Her name was Vanessa Garza. I hope life is going good for you, Garza. I hope everything's well.
The amount of romance in the story.
But now that freaks me out because my son is at that age, bro.
Why? Why does that freak you out? That's part of life.
Yeah. Wifey ain't ready for it.
That's part of life.
Wifey is not ready for it.
You're freaked out for wifey's reaction, but you're not freaked out for the prospect of your son becoming a man, are you?
Well, no. And Crystal, I think, is freaked out because Sonny is now coming to me, bro. He's like, hey, Dad. Like I was telling you guys last week, hey, Dad, so how old do I have to be to have a girlfriend? I was like, what's cracking, dog? What's going on? He's like, I'm just curious. There's girls with, like, potential. And I was like, all right, dude, whatever. So that made me happy. Because and it makes me cherish the moments that I hang out with him. Like, now that Little League is starting, Mario, I'm sure you went through this with your oldest. Now everything is Little League revolving around it. Everything, bro. So this Saturday, we had practice. And after practice, they had a team outing. And the team outing was at SDSU for a San Diego State Aztec baseball game. It was the Tony Gwynn Classic. And I've never been to Tony Gwynn Stadium, but it was awesome. Like my son, I get to see my son interact with all of his little contemporaries, kids his age, acting like a fool. You know, my kid's shy. He's a little bit introverted, but as soon as you like say, go, then he's about it. And as soon as he got that little nudge and that little push, he was about it. And I'm like, it just makes me happy to see that my little guy is turning into like a nice little citizen of the community, you know?
Now, if your little guy was your daughter, would you let him her date?
Oh, fuck, man.
Because I think there's a double standard now.
Very much so. But I'm not old school in that sense. Okay. I feel like I still don't want my son. What the fuck is my son going to do? If dating means getting his headphones on and playing Fortnite with him, by all means, date away, bro. Because that's all he does. All they do is go to school, go to baseball or jujitsu, and come home and play video games and do their homework.
I bet you they're just going to be texting
all
day long.
Oh, they don't get no phones. How old's your kid when you gave him the phone?
I didn't get my first kid a phone until he was in high school.
There it is. And I don't think I'm going to do that shit.
And my 10-year-old, she's beating on me right now for a phone.
Yeah?
It's like a daily thing. Can I get a phone, Dad? Can I get a phone? Can I get a phone? Everybody else has a phone. Why can't I have a phone?
Oh, well, and wifey and I have talked about this. Pay attention, Barry, because this shit's coming your way with young Pete. We've been talking about, okay, you get a phone, but if we're going to get you a phone, it's going to have zero access to the internet. It's going to be a phone that just allows you to call, like, certain numbers and maybe shoot a text or two. Yeah.
Pete already knows how to work a phone. He knows how to put in everybody's passwords. Yeah. He knows how to navigate YouTube.
Good.
My 8-year-old can hack my whatever it is, my passwords all the time. He knows how to do all that shit. I'm like, how do you know this?
Because your password is pizza, fool. I mean, it's not going to be difficult for him to crack that code, fool.
Probably. But just it's crazy how these young kids are so more, I don't know, tech savvy than we.
Oh, yeah.
It's like almost ingrained into them, you know?
Bro, I had to dial up internet where I needed to get a 300-minute fucking CD for AOL. That was my expertise on VG internet.
That noise.
Yeah. Ring, ring, ring. And then my mom would pick up and have to restart the whole process. I'm like, cuelga. You know, like it would just
you see
ruin
that free
everything.
Trial of AOL on like a TV guide.
And I would just go back and find a new fucking disc and reinstall it. And, yeah, but hey, our kids need to be better than what we were at their age.
Okay.
That's my goal. So if my son is better, if all of my sons are better than me at those timestamps in my life, we're doing something right. And as it relates to tech and all that, oh no, my six-year-old runs circles around me.
Oh,
they're unbelievable. They know how to do things on PlayStation 5. I own the PlayStation 5. I don't know how to turn it on, turn it off, update or anything. These motherfuckers come in and like they're twirling things and they're just doing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, bro.
I'm scared to get a new phone because then I have to learn how to use it again.
Yeah, I feel you. We're old.
I'm still like, my phone's like 7 years old and I'm still like, and I just go take it to get fixed because I'm scared to having to reuse or learn the server or something.
Oh my God, this thing takes pictures.
Oh my Lord. So Barry, you got on a sick one for 5 days straight?
5 days straight. Yeah. So that, I mean, it's already like, we're 2 days in and this is a long story, but yeah, so we went Anaheim. This is the first time we ever left Pete too for like an extended, like overnight.
Worst parents ever, ladies and gentlemen.
Out of city. It was fucking crazy. So the entire time.
You abandoned your child.
The back of our mind. Well, he was chilling at grandma's house, dude.
You were punky Brewstering him.
Yeah, and then we came back Friday, saw Alkaline Trio again, because we already had tickets to that one.
So wait, you saw Alkaline Trio like more than once, fool?
Yeah, baby.
Ese way.
And they were great both times.
I bet.
And then, yeah, so we went to the Soma, and it was my first time back.
The Soma.
The Soma. It was my first time there since they started selling beer. Have you been since then?
Oh, for sure.
They sell beer?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. They took the side stage area, made it like a little bar, and then they have like another little bar kind of in the back.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird setup.
I don't like it.
Mm. It was weird. You can buy beer from like both sides of the entrance there. And then when did I go last? Oh, I went to watch The Descendants, bro. Mm. I went to watch The Descendants, TSOL, True Sounds of Liberty, and Audio Karate. Ooh, I remember I watched those. So that was like a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm a Soma rat. I was talking to a young man by the name of Sulo King. He's in a band called Authentic Sellout. And he was kind of like putting me in contact with all of these people used to run the San Diego scene in my era. And they were just talking about, apparently there's a podcast that goes over all the Soma shit.
Huh.
Yeah, and I was like, that's pretty sick. Yeah, that's pretty sick. And there's a podcast that goes over just old school San Diego bands. I'm like, oh, man. And it got me thinking, is like, we still use a song that was written when I was 17,
yeah,
as our intro song.
Yeah, we do. It's a good song, though.
It's a great song. It's a classic. Give them a little bit of that real quick, Barry, so people understand what we're talking about.
You know this hit.
Let it play a little bit, dude, because look at... We wrote this song when we were like 17, 18 years old. I'm 44, so this is damn near 3 decades old, almost. I fucking sing in English.
That makes this song classic rock.
Is this classic rock? At what
age? Yeah, because if you think about it, classic rock didn't become classic rock until it was about 30 years old.
So the 60s were cool, and then in the 90s it became classics.
Mm-hmm.
I see how that works.
No, so classic rock is always going to be that 70s area.
70s?
Led Zeppelin.
Bee Gees.
Yeah, classic rock is more of like a sound now than it used to be because nobody makes classic rock.
So the reason I bring that up, Barry, is we've been working with a local talent. A local talent who came in, whispered in our ears, and was like, hey, you know what? You know what? You guys need to update your intro song. And I was like, right? And he's like, I got you, fool. Mm-hmm. So the homie Dago Funk came through. He started doing his thing, and he gave us a tidbit. He gave us a little morsel, a little tasty nugget.
Wet the beak, so to speak.
Of what's coming our way with our intro song. Oh, man. Oh, man.
You guys are in for it.
What should we debut that? Next week? Next week. Next week we'll debut that, and it'll be our new intro song, and it's going to be our Emo Brown hype song. Everything that we do, I feel, is going to have to come out. So, look, we have an Emo Brown beer that's coming out again, and, like, I believe it, we usually put it out around March-ish. We have the pre-rolls.
Yeah, we do.
What's up, dog? Why do we have our own intro? We have our own logo. We have our own podcast. We do all of this shit, homie. I think it's time to have the legit, an intro song, strictly dedicated. And when you hear this shit, bro, woo, no mames, bro.
Well, you and I have been talking about doing one like you and me, let's record a song. But okay, what's going on? Guys, we don't have time to be doing that. So I think it's great that we were blessed by Dago Funk by this.
I didn't have time to go to your birthday party, dog.
No, you did not.
I kind of felt bad, and then I got over it because they gave me 4 free tickets to go check out Alfredo Robles. So I was like, yo, what up? Thanks, Alfredo. I appreciate you reaching out. Alfredo Robles came down to San Diego this Sunday, played a late show on Sunday at Mic Drop. Mic Drop, my first time there. But Mic Drop was once upon a time a Greek restaurant that had a comedy venue built into it. And I think I went there once. But this time around, bro, it was amazing. Alfredo Robles, he hooked it up. He dropped off some tickets for us, put us on the list. So I took my cousin. I took the other homie, Alfredo, invited my brother-in-law. But that motherfucker said my sister didn't let him. Whatever. So we went in there and it was amazing, bro. I it's awesome to watch the homies, like, you can see them developing their game in the comedy scene. So Alfredo Robles gets up there, he does his thing. It's like an hour and a half set. He killed it. Prior to that, a local guy, Johnny Hernandez, hilarious. He does a lot
So
he hosts a lot of comedy events.
I did a show with him at Hobby Days.
Hobby Days, gracias. So he does a lot of shows there at Hobby Days. Reach out to him, connected. We're going to bring him on the podcast.
Oh, he's going to be awesome.
Yeah. The podcast where Pinchy Felipe Esparza does fucking something fool. The guy Rodrigo, that's his co-host, he was there. He did his show. So all in all, it was a great event, great show, man. So we look forward to linking up with those guys. Later on this week, we're going to have the homie Jay Valentino. He's going to come in and teach us all how to be DJs and tell us why he has an ATM at his fucking house when he does skits with his mom. That's always blown my mind. I got to figure that shit out, why he does that. But yeah, man, the comedy scene's blowing up. There's a lot of people from, you know, Southern California that are doing worldwide tours, getting their thing. Fred Robles, he's definitely a come up. Everybody was there to see him.
Yeah.
Sold out on a Sunday at 7 p.m.
Yup.
No, mom is, bro.
That must have been why I was a little bit slower at the Elwood.
Dude. Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Well, that's why I didn't go see you, best friend.
It's all good.
Oh, man. Look at this. So now I'm getting messages about how many people heard what we said in the live, fool?
I don't know, because right now I don't see anybody here.
The board president. Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was checking in and watching you on the live, bro. You're going to get canceled. Oh, my God.
Hey.
It's not live.
It wasn't.
No, you can't. Nobody.
Oh, yeah. It's still the old link? Oh, you better delete that, bro. Unreal.
I told you it doesn't change.
Man.
Inside baseball. If you post a YouTube link, it stays to that video, not the next one.
Oh, man. Hit us with your highlight of the day, Barry, so we can wrap it up with the homie Mario. Mario of Caleanos, bro. Fuck. And then we're going to see if there's some sort of Emo Brown Social Club discount that we're going to throw away. Damn, I like putting people on the spot when it comes to that shit, huh? Think about that. Marinate on that in your Italian imported sauce.
I don't discount food.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
There is no discount at Caliano's for you, but you can support because it's the official pizza, the official slice of the Emo Brown podcast.
You're not going to want to pay a discount for this. You want to pay full prices.
Did you know that your official slice?
Well, they say that your friends will pay double.
What's up?
When your friends go to your restaurant, they'll
exactly.
pay
that. Yeah.
And then when you're...
When Emo Brown comes through, we pay 15% off.
You want to come through and make your own pizza? Yeah.
You can do that? Oh, wait, we could do that?
Yeah.
Are we going to have an Emo Brown slice?
Yeah, why don't you come through?
Ooh. Hey, we got a hamburger too, remember?
Yeah, we
did. The Emo Brown burger.
Yeah.
The all right. All right. Shit, under the careful tutelage
What do you like on your pizza?
Extra sauce.
Okay.
I like extra sauce, a little bit more cheese than normal.
Okay.
I like mushrooms.
Okay.
And then pepperoni. What do you think?
Pepperoni and mushroom is your jam, or
what? I think for me it is. I'm basic fool. I'm.
What about you, Barry?
I do love me a good pepperoni sausage mushroom.
Yeah, you do. You nasty fuck.
But I'm crazy. I'll eat all. I'll eat peanut butter. I'll
this fool puts artichokes on his shit, fool. With a slice of pineapples.
Yeah, dude.
Wait, pineapples?
Yeah.
You for real, huh?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck, you're a swinger. Even
pineapple,
on the pizza.
Pineapple pepperoni with hot sauce.
And he probably. Douses it with ranch dressing, though.
Oh.
I mean, he's white.
No.
He does things a little different. He does things a little different. This motherfucker puts Miracle Whip as his base on his fucking pizza, homie.
You put it on your hot dogs. Get the hell out of here.
Do you put mayonnaise on hot dogs?
Depends.
On what?
If it has bacon wrapped around it.
Ah, okay. Take it easy, bro. We get it. You have a business in Tijuana. We get
no,
it.
No, brother.
We understand.
I'm not going to go to Costco and put any... mayo on my hot dog.
Really?
But yeah, that doesn't. No.
Why is $1.50 considered fucking top line cuisine at Costco or what?
No, well, dude, let's be real. Costco hot dog is the standard. The guy loses money. He won't raise the prices.
As he shouldn't.
It's what do they say? It's just like a. In Italian, we would say it's una piaciera, or like.
Every time I wake up, I say that shit. Una piaciera. Una piaciera. Hey, come sta tu dia? Una piaciera.
Yeah, because they finally now, if you don't have your Costco card, you can't.
That's but right.
Remember, like, about a couple years ago, it was fucking just flooded with people.
Go ahead.
But, you know, but now it's crazy. Like, I get a Tijuana dog on the street is, like, maybe $2. But now in this San Diego, like, 15, 12.
Why you gotta throw quotations on San Diego? We're a real thing, dog. You don't have to fucking throw quotations on us.
Well,
the fuck?
Well, okay, whatever.
That we thought.
The hot dogs here, the hot dog scene in San Diego now, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you going to spend something that I grew up spending $1.50 for, now I got to spend $15?
Yeah. Well, anytime we exit Peco, you know, it's a line of vendors. And each one of them is, you know, jockeying for position to get your money. And each one of them is at least $10, bro. Mm-hmm. Anytime we leave Snapdragon, you know, when Coldplay plays and they're throwing out little vials of goop.
Yes.
Like when you go outside and you get it, it's like a $15 hot dog. And they're all the same. Now everyone has a little tocino wrapped around it. That's bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon and the grilled onions y todo el pedo.
Yes.
How much would you sell that for? Would you even consider selling TJ Cell dogs at Caliano's?
We'd do it for a special.
Yeah?
It'd be fun.
And how much would it cost?
I'd want to do something like that for like $4 to $6.
Yeah. Most. All right. Yeah. Cool. There it is, Barry.
I know where I'll be getting mine.
Available every day. You're
right
open.
Now, well, the special we're doing right now is pretty fun. Is the chopped cheese fries?
Okay.
I'd like to give a shout out to some of my employees. If it wasn't for my employees, I wouldn't be who I am. Mm-hmm. So we let the employees shine, and one of them is Alfonso, and he created the chopped cheese fries.
El compa Alfonso, dog. Innovating in that little fucking
kitchen.
He's
probably one of the coolest stories in the restaurant world that I have really experienced. He was one of my number one customers and then turned into my number one employee. He quit his job to work for me full time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's belief in the vision.
So he would come in probably 3-4 times a week, and he was a milkman or milk delivery driver. And he's all, can I come and work? I just want to learn how to cook in the kitchen. So for like 3-4 weeks, he just came and worked for free. And then I was like, I can't have you do this anymore. I'm going to have you start being part-time. And then one day he came like maybe 2-3 weeks later and said, I quit my job. Can I just work here full-time? And he's fucking awesome, dude.
Nice.
It's as you know, you're an employer. Sometimes having good people is more important than having skilled people. And I feel like all my employees have like awesome hearts. They're beautiful people. Like I can trust them 100%, you know? And that's why I can do the things I do in Tijuana. Because if I didn't have that support, that really awesome crew, then I wouldn't have the confidence to step away, if that makes sense.
Makes 110% sense, man. If you don't have your home taken care of, it's going to be harder for you to expand your backyard or your footprint or your blueprint.
Yeah, so like we run a really small, tight crew, and like sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe they work a little bit too much, but you throw another person in there, then the tip pool dwindles and, you know, stuff like that. So I kind of let them do, not make their schedule, but, you know, ask them what days they want off, and I try to be as proactive as possible with them so that they feel like I'm, you know, helping them out, you know. As a, you know, small business employer, they're more like family, you know, than they are your employees. I know more about their inners and outs of their family life than
sometimes I know a little too much.
I took the words right out of my mouth.
Sometimes we know a little too much about our staff.
Yeah, but then at the same time, there's a sense of humility, you know.
What the fuck are you laughing about, Caesar? No, man, running a small business is honestly everything that's led up to being a small business owner has paled in consideration to being the most difficult thing I've ever done.
Oh yeah,
running a small business, being a small business owner, being an entrepreneur, like those things are difficult tasks. And responsibilities, man. Making payroll, buying product, keeping.
That's right there.
You know?
People don't realize that right there. Payroll.
Mm.
You're responsible for other people.
Isn't that crazy?
And so, like, not only am I responsible for these people, I'm responsible for that person, plus the people that they're responsible for. You know? It's a whole different sense of responsibility, you know?
Yeah. It's pressure. Yeah. I go to sleep with it. I wake up with it. It's like, we got to do this. We got to do that. You know? And people don't see that hustle. No. People don't see you in the cut trying to get things done, trying to connect the dots, trying to make ends meet, but it is what it is. It's an everyday struggle. It's an everyday tale, especially during these months, Mario.
Oh, this is probably the hardest months for any small business owner because everybody's from the holiday hangover. They don't want to spend any money after Christmas.
We're getting out of it. Like, I saw signs of life, you know? Like, this, actually, these past two weekends have been good.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. Exhale a little bit because I feel like, you know, spring is coming and people are coming out. It was busy this weekend. You know, it was busy last week. So I'm like, all right, thank God we're getting through.
It's actually getting hotter too.
Mm.
I think the heat in San Diego or the weather in San Diego is crazy. I can see a direct correlation between when it's cold, rainy, and when it's sunny outside, how much more business I have.
No, pues sí, bro. Nobody want when it rains, I don't want to go anywhere.
Oh, it's crazy.
If it's fucking raining, I want to stay at home, bro.
Yeah. Well, we're not a rainy day culture.
No, pues no. No.
No. It's not San Francisco. You know what I mean? We're not used to having seasonal weather. Let's bring out our winter jackets.
Sweatshirt. Winter jacket? Yeah, I got a hoodie. That's about it. There you go.
It's crazy growing up in San Diego.
Barry, what do you got for us before we wrap this bad boy up?
I would like to give a special shout out to a board member.
Uh-oh.
To a friend.
Get it.
To a local legend. Our guy Chicle.
What did he do?
He was out there giving a new paint job, doing some stuff with the kids at the South Bay Little League.
So sounds like he's on some Kathy Lee shit and getting like children to do the work for him.
Teaching these kids how to paint.
Mm.
Getting this beautiful South Bay Little League sign. Look how big that thing
is. That is awesome, man.
That's why he needs all the help.
Hey, big up to Plomero. Plomero, like, pretty much is the one that spearheaded this whole movement for the South Bay Little League. This dilapidated. Doesn't look good. Now it looks really good. He's been doing good in the hood for a long time. Look at that guy, man. Shit, he looks like a Caltrans. He looks like he's picking up trash on the side of the freeway. You know, he's doing some community service. But no, don't be fooled. That's Chicle. He's, you know, el rey de mil coronas. Look at that guy. Big fan of Chicle. Big fan of you. Big fan of all the things we do. When are your upcoming shows, Barry? Or are you taking a break for real?
Nope. Tuesday, I'll be at Tipsy Crow, 3 to 6. And then Friday, I'm going back up to Carlsbad. I'll be at Hennessy's Carlsbad in the early shift. I think I'm playing like 3 to 7 or 4 to 7 or something.
Hey, what's the crowd like in Carlsbad?
It was tight. Yeah. I played there on the birthday. Like, the actual birthday show was at American Heroes and Brew.
Mm.
Bomb-ass food.
Get it?
They were super cool. Like, everybody there was super nice, all the staff, and they want to have me back, so that's a good sign.
That's always a good sign.
But, yeah, and we had Cesar Torres bring out all the North County peeps, and then I had his family and friends come out.
That's his territory. So, yeah. That's where he's from.
We packed that thing out, and we had a good time.
How was the Elwood last night?
Elwood was awesome, too. I have to go back and pick up my shit.
Barry, I was told you were 86 from the Elwood.
Was I?
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Oh,
I'll have to confirm, but I don't know.
I don't know what I did then. No, it's Manhattan, right?
That too. I mean, if you get 86
from the South Bay,
if you get 86 from one, you get 86 from all of them, bro. All
right,
you're always welcome at the brewery.
All right,
you're always welcome at the
brewery. That was at Little Italy too.
Do it. Oh,
yeah, we saw Kevin was working. So we're like,
you were on the whole like El Champs LLC World Tour in the South.
I like to support my friends.
Yeah, we're friends.
How many bars you have in the South Bay now?
I guess we're lovers.
I got the Elwood.
Yeah.
We got the brewery.
Uh huh.
And then now I have the Tasty Room in Little Italy, and the Manhattan is owned by my partner CC and my partner Matt. Yeah. So yeah. So I feel like if you're gonna drink in the South Bay, it'll somehow involve us in some way, bro. So we gotta make sure we do our best to be our best and take care of business when it's needed. But don't worry about me, I'm worried about you. Let's focus on you before we wrap this up.
Sounds like a plan.
Caliano is available 7 days a week.
Yes.
From
11 to 9.
11 to 9. Located next to Brandywine Liquor. And as he said, if you don't know where Brandywine is, you don't deserve to have my pizzas. Es el way. And if you don't have credentials to get across the border, but you still want some pizza, no problem. Go to La Sexta Revolucion, right next to HK, next to the donkeys. No pasa nada.
You know that they're not allowed, I guess, anymore.
Donkeys?
No, the zonkeys.
Oh, the zonkeys? Why, what happened? PETA got involved.
They don't like the animal rights and all that.
Is there a PETA in Tijuana?
I have no idea. But no donkeys, no zonkeys. That was a thing. Remember that?
I remember that donkeys were another thing too back in the day. I don't know if that's still a thing. Dago Funk is smiling, so it must still be a thing. Mario, thank you very much for spending time with us, going over your business plan and everything that you do for the community down here. Caliano's Pizza, the official pizza of Emo Brown. We're gonna go down there, create our own slice. Barry, I hope you're ready for that. We're gonna throw some huevos on there, fool. Little eggs, bacon, whatever. We'll make it amazing. No Miracle Whip.
We'll push the boop.
And wasting my-